Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible. This program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, happy Friday, everybody, and welcome to this edition of the Prophecy News Podcast. You know, the way the story goes, COVID-19 took the world by surprise, and only by exerting a global superhuman effort to create a vaccine from a zero baseline at warp speed are we able to get ahead of the deadliest viral outbreak in human history. That's the official narrative we're compelled to believe, but as Paul Harvey famously said, now here's the rest of that story. And the rest of that story is that the Bill Gates-funded Moderna Technologies company already had a COVID-19 vaccine before COVID-19 was released in the end of 2019, early 2020 from a lab in Wuhan, China. Habakkuk 1:5 says, "Behold ye among the heathen and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe though it be told you." On this episode of the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast, we're examining incredible new evidence that gene editing company Moderna, funded by the Gates Foundation, had a global coronavirus, had a COVID-19 vaccine ready at precisely the same time that Bill Gates was holding Event 201 to wargame the possibility of a global coronavirus outbreak. In confidential documents that we will reveal to you today, Moderna, together with the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, sent mRNA coronavirus vaccine candidates to the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill as early as December 12th of 2019. How deep does the rabbit hole go? It goes all the way to the pit of hell. Today, we show you the stunning connection between Bill Gates, Moderna, Event 201, and the COVID-19 vaccine that was ready before the outbreak happened. Heavenly Father, we come to you and we ask for your goodness and your mercy. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for waking us up today. We thank you, Father God, for putting food on the table and clothes on our back and a roof over our head. And Lord, we want to know the truth. And you've preserved your truth inside your King James Bible, and we come to you today, and we just thank you, Lord, and we praise you, Father God. We praise you, and we commit all these things in this time to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Before we get started with today's podcast, I want to read to you a message that we received by a listener named Ruby. And this is what she said. She said, "Dear NTEB, I have listened to NTEB regularly over the past 2 years or so, and I feel like I know a lot of you, even though you don't know me. I have only posted once or twice over all these months, so I would be easy to miss. Well, here's the story. My husband and I have a dear son named Stanley who died last week and is now singing, 'Holy, holy, holy,' with the angels around the throne of God, amen, helping to make the courts of heaven ring." Ruby says that Stanley was born with Down syndrome in 1966, and in addition to severe retardation and being mute and unable to talk, he was diagnosed with cancer in January of 2020, and he was under hospice care for the last 4 months. Stanley had malignant tumors riddling his body, in his skull and his lumbar spine, upper backbone, lungs, and compromising his kidney function. Ruby says his funeral will be today, Friday, July 16th, at 2 p.m. in Portland, Oregon. And Ruby asks that hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of fellow believers at NTEB join her in praying that the power of the Holy Spirit will be palpable at Stanley's funeral service, that Christians in attendance will be edified, and that the hearts of the unbelievers, there it is, that the hearts of the unbelievers will be open to hear the truth of the gospel through Scripture. Testimonies in our pastor's powerful biblical message entitled The Wonder of God's Grace. Please pray that our soloist, who loves Stanley dearly and is deeply grieving with us, will not lose her voice when she tries to sing. Please pray that our older son, our daughter, and my husband and I will not lose our voices as we speak at the funeral. Lastly, please pray for our pastor as he prepares and delivers a fond farewell and evangelical message of hope and joy for all eternity. Pray that God will be glorified, amen, as he works his purposes through Stanley's death, as he faithfully did through throughout his life of much suffering. Thank you very, very, very much for your prayers and support, Ruby Isaac. So I want to take a moment right now. Ruby is a regular reader and listener, and she is asking that the NTEB family pray for her son's funeral service today, that Christians get back on fire who listen, and that unbelievers who attend this service, it's 12 o'clock Eastern time here, that means it's 9 o'clock West Coast time there, so in 5 hours from right now, Ruby is going to have the funeral service for her son, Stanley. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you. Lord, we thank you for prayer requests such as this. And we lift up Ruby and her husband and her children and the pastor. We lift up the soloist. We lift up everybody involved in this funeral service that Jesus may be glorified and that a solid gospel message will be preached and sung and talked about. And we just pray for the lost people that will be attending this ceremony, that they would hear something that would lead them to get saved. And for all the saved people at the ceremony, we pray that they would get on fire for you, God. And we thank you for Ruby. We thank you, Lord, for her reaching out and asking us to do this. It's an honor and it's a privilege when people ask you to pray for them. And we do. We lift up the entire Isaac family today, and we thank you for taking Stanley home, Lord. I can't even begin to imagine a life of suffering at that level. But you had your plan, and you had your purpose, and now Stanley is in glory with you. And we just pray for this funeral service today, that it would be done according to your will, for your glory, and for their good. And we ask all these things, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Rachel says, please pray for my friend Sherilyn. She's been diagnosed with kidney cancer. And Lord, we do lift up Sherilyn, and we ask you, Lord, to do a work there and to give a touch and to give a healing as only you can, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. It's an honor when somebody asks you to pray for them. Especially when they take the time to write something and they pour out their heart and they ask you to intercede for them. That's what saints are called to do. You know, during the 1,000-year millennial reign of Jesus Christ, Revelation 1 and Revelation 5 says that you and I who are saved are going to rule and reign as kings and priests with King Jesus for 1,000 years. So it's an honor that before we get to that point, that we are lifting each other up and not biting and devouring each other, but lifting each other up as Christians are called to do. And it's a blessing. It's absolutely a blessing. All right, we're going to get started with today's program. Today, we're talking about something that's really kind of a blockbuster for some people. Shocking new evidence that Moderna already had a COVID-19 vaccine before the outbreak in the Wuhan lab happened. And let's just go over a basic timeline. On these podcasts, we've been telling you, now we've had these podcasts for a little over a year now. I think we started the podcast program about 14 months ago. It was sometime in April or May of 2020 that we started the podcast program. And this is the place where, through the filter of the Bible, we try and show you what's going on. And today, evidence has come across my desk that clearly shows that Moderna, in cahoots with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, they had an mRNA COVID-19 vaccine candidate ready to go as early as December of 2019. Do you know what happened in October of 2019? A little something called Event 201. That took place in October of 2019. And Bill Gates funded Event 201. And that was Blockbuster at the time that we told you about that. Remember, that's the event where the 65 people who were in attendance, they all received a COVID-19 plushie toy. That still boggles my mind that somebody would even make one of those things. It's the scariest virus in human history. Worse than anything, they say. And yet, when Bill Gates was holding Event 201, he thought it was a good idea to make a stuffed animal out of a killer virus that would kill millions of people after it was launched in a lab in Wuhan, China, just weeks after they held Event 201. So let's go over a little bit of a timeline so that you can understand. And most of these things are things that we have talked about, but we're just going to give you a little bit of a review today. So let's go back to 2010. Let's go back to 2010, and that's where Bill Gates creates something called the Global Vaccine Action Plan. And going back to 2010, Bill Gates, who is a lifelong eugenicist, he created something called the Global Vaccine Action Plan. And many subgroups were formed from this group. But when Bill Gates created the Global Vaccine Action Plan back in 2010, one of the people that he put in a leadership position was Anthony Fauci. So Anthony Fauci has been tied to this thing for a long, long, long time now. And Bill Gates has been tied to this thing for a long, long, long time now. So back in 2010, Bill Gates creates his Global Vaccine Action Plan and puts Anthony Fauci into a leadership position. And then you flash forward a couple of years in 2015, and Bill Gates gives that now famous TED Talk where he predicted that the next war, the next big conflict, would be fought with microbes, not missiles. And in that TED Talk, he seemed to predict a soon-coming global viral outbreak. So let's listen to a couple of minutes of that now famous TED Talk that he gave back in 2015 that very, very few people paid attention to. But then, when COVID-19 began to rock the foundations of the world, everybody went back and listened to that 2015 TED Talk. So let's listen to just a couple of minutes of Bill Gates talking about the next outbreak, and we are not ready.
When I was a kid, the disaster we worried about most was a nuclear war. That's why we had a barrel like this down in our basement, filled with cans of food and water. When the nuclear attack came, we were supposed to go downstairs, hunker down, and eat out of that barrel. Today, the greatest risk of global catastrophe doesn't look like this. Instead, it looks like this. If anything kills over 10 million people in the next few decades, it's most likely to be a highly infectious virus rather than a war. Not missiles, but microbes. Now, part of the
So there you have it. I'm just going to stop him. He's only 42 seconds into his little talk. But here you have Bill Gates at the TED Talk back in 2015. Bill Gates, a lifelong eugenicist. Bill Gates, who was raised sitting at the dinner table with his father, who was the CEO of Planned Parenthood. And him and his mother and his sister would listen to their dad talking about how good abortion is and the necessity of abortion to control the world population. So as Bill Gates got into college and his parents decided that he was the appointed messenger, Bill Gates' mother made sure that Microsoft became a viable concern. And Bill Gates' mother, who sat on the board of the United Way with the CEO of IBM, and we've all heard that famous story about how Bill Gates, through luck and ingenuity, he was able to get a meeting with IBM, and Microsoft was born because IBM didn't want to license the Windows system. I mean, they didn't want to purchase the Windows system. They only wanted to license it. And this great mistake caused Microsoft to become the largest, most profitable corporation in human history. We've all heard some variation of that story. But the truth is that Bill Gates' mother got on the phone and spoke with the CEO of IBM and told him to go to Microsoft and make Microsoft big. And that's exactly what his millionaire mother and millionaire father did for them. And that's where Microsoft came from, how it just appeared to pop up out of nowhere. And overnight, Bill Gates, who spent his formative years at the dining room table listening to mommy and daddy talking about the health benefits of abortion and population control, Bill Gates now has access to literally an unlimited amount of money. There is nothing now that he can't buy. So what does he begin to do after he rides the wave of Microsoft and makes all this money? Well, he begins to put into action the things that he was taught by his parents, sitting at that kitchen table all those years, about population control, vaccines, abortion, and all these things that are necessary if you were going to create a master race of people. That's what eugenics teaches. Adolf Hitler was a eugenicist. Adolf Hitler believed in the pure Aryan race. Margaret Sanger, who created Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger believed in a pure race of people. But in order to get rid of that, to create that pure race of people, you had to get rid of the inferior species. Now, to Margaret Sanger, the inferior species was the black man. And before it was called Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger named her little operation, she called it the Negro Project. Now, you may be asking, what do all these things have to do with Moderna making a vaccine? Well, because they are all connected. And that's what we're showing you today. We are showing you how deep does the rabbit hole go? It goes all the way to the pit of hell, literally. So Margaret Sanger creates something called the Negro Project. And it was called the Negro Project because it was her plan to get rid of the inferior black race, just like Adolf Hitler was there to get rid of the inferior Jewish race, along with gypsies and homosexuals and Down syndrome people, and the list goes on and on and on. So it's important for you to understand, you just heard Bill Gates say that when the next global war comes, it's going to be fought not with missiles, but with microbes. And today I'm going to show you the 22-year arc from the moment that SARS coronavirus was created in a laboratory all the way up to early 2020 when it was released on an unsuspecting global population in order to create a master race of people, to weed out the weak ones and to install the strong ones in power. This is the New World Order. They've been planning it for decades. This is what they talked about when they had all those years of Bilderberger meetings in private and all these things that George Soros and David Rockefeller and Bill Gates Sr. and Bill Gates III and Anthony Fauci and all these other New World Order players. These are the things that they have been talking about. And COVID was the means by which that they plan on accomplishing these things. And so far, they're being outrageously successful. Their plan is working in excess of their expectations at this moment.
The reason for this is that we have invested a huge amount in nuclear deterrence. But we've actually invested very little in a system to stop an epidemic. We're not ready for the next epidemic. Let's look at Ebola. I'm sure all of you read about it in the newspaper. Lots of tough challenges.
All right, so we'll just stop him right there because he's going to spend the next 6.5 minutes talking about Ebola. And that doesn't really have much of a bearing on what we're talking about today. But just suffice to say that in 2010, Bill Gates appointed Anthony Fauci into a leadership role in his global vaccine action plan. In 2015, Bill Gates gives that now famous TED talk where he says that the next war will be fought with microbes, not missiles. And that's the war that's being fought right now, that's being waged. We told you 2 days ago that over in Europe, Emmanuel Macron, at the beginning of the week, starting this Monday, 5 days ago, Emmanuel Macron said that he was going to make people wear a mask again. So he started bringing back the mask mandate in France. And then Macron said, well, looks like we're going to have to make the vaccine mandatory. And so then he made the vaccine mandatory for healthcare workers and a number of other groups of people in France. And then yesterday he said, well, it looks like if people won't voluntarily take it, we're going to have to take steps to make the vaccine mandatory for everybody. On one hand, protests broke out in Paris. But on the other hand, 2.25 million people in a 24-hour period made appointments to receive the COVID-19 mRNA vaccine. And all these things happened in the last 4 days in the European Union in France under the leadership of Emmanuel Macron. Now, these things are replicating themselves in various spots around the world. I want you to listen to this clip spoken by the director of the CDC, and she said this yesterday, that the real problem that we face right now is not COVID-19, not the global outbreak. The CDC director is now warning people that the real problem is the pandemic of the unvaccinated. Take a listen. This was yesterday.
This is becoming a pandemic of the unvaccinated. We are seeing outbreaks of cases in parts of the country that have low vaccination coverage because unvaccinated people are at risk, and communities that are fully vaccinated are generally faring well. You can see the patterns of local outbreaks in the slide of community transmission. The blue and yellow counties have low or moderate transmission. The orange and red counties have substantial to high transmission. On the left, you can see where we were just a short month ago and compare it to where we are now on the right. In the last week, 10% of counties have moved into high transmission risk in the red, and 7% of counties have moved into substantial risk in the orange. Those counties most frequently correspond to counties with low vaccination rates. When we look over time, we can put these increasing cases in perspective. In January, shown in the middle of the slide, we were averaging nearly 200,000 cases per day. The entire country was in a high level of transmission. You can see that from January to June, as you move from left to right on the slide, we made remarkable progress, where the percent of counties with high transmission decreased, as shown by the decrease in red and increases in blue and yellow. Now, in the upper right-hand corner, which is where we are today, you can see the recent growth in cases where the red and orange are again increasing. So while we are in a far better position than we were in January through April, this increase in red area is giving us all a reason to double down and get more people vaccinated.
So that's the director of the CDC, and she just told you that the pandemic that we're facing right now is not a viral pandemic. It's not a COVID-19 pandemic. She just told you that the actual pandemic are people like me and you who have not been vaccinated. Well, ask yourself this very simple question. If the head of the CDC has said that they have identified the main problem, in this case, the main problem is people who have not received the COVID-19 vaccine. So, if the CDC has identified what they feel to be the main problem in this outbreak, doesn't it stand to reason that they're going to take steps to mitigate that problem? It absolutely does. And they are planning on taking many, many steps to mitigate the problem of unvaccinated people. And I don't know about you, but when I heard that clip, it really sent a cold chill down my spine because they're targeting people now is what they're doing. They have switched from targeting a virus and now they're targeting people. Now they have to get rid of unvaccinated people. And for those of us who have a King James Bible, we read it, we believe it. We see that these things, we see what's actually happening. We see what's actually coming down the pike. Joe Biden, his administration said 2 days ago that they're working with the Democratic National Committee to work with telephone companies so that they can start monitoring our private text messages. And when anybody sends a text message to anybody else privately through their mobile device, like your Samsung or your iPhone, when you send a text message to a friend of yours and you're talking about why it's important that you feel that people should not receive the vaccine, the government's going to take that message, store that message, monitor that message, and they're going to respond to you with a pro-vaccine text message. But most of all, what are they doing? They are working to identify who the unvaccinated are. We told you 5 days ago that the Biden administration is bragging about their door-to-door plan, where they are going to send workers door to door, and they are going to see who's vaccinated, who's not vaccinated. But we know for a fact that they're not going to send people door to door to 350 million people. That's not possible. But they're going to come directly to the people that they have a very high guesstimate of who have not received the vaccine. Now, how could they know who has not been vaccinated unless somebody's been keeping a vaccination database, which they claim does not exist? Are they just going to guess how many people in a massive nation like the United States of America that is over 3,000 miles from left to right? Are they just going to guess where the unvaccinated people live? No. They're going to come straight to your house because they know who the unvaccinated people are. So, in 2010, Bill Gates creates the Global Vaccine Action Plan, puts Anthony Fauci on the board. 2015, he gives his famous TED Talk that the next war is going to be with microbes, not missiles. He predicts a global outbreak is coming. And then the very next year, and this is something that the fact checkers absolutely deny, but the very next year after his TED Talk, Bill Gates paid a visit to a little company called Moderna. Moderna Therapeutics, they are a gene editing technology company. They say that they are advancing mRNA-based antibody combinations. That's what they do. But when you boil it down, they are a gene editing company. Trevor Mundell, who's the president of Global Health at the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, said this: Moderna Therapeutics research has considerable potential for the development of an effective prevention intervention for HIV and potentially other infectious, unnamed other infectious diseases that disproportionately affect the world's poorest people. Now, we told you last year that Bill Gates formed a league with Moderna to help rapidly advance their work in mRNA technology. And he did that less than 1 year after he gave his Microbes Not Missiles TED Talk. Now, the fact checkers, when I originally reported on this about a year ago, the fact checkers all told me that I was repeating something that had been deemed to be false. That Bill Gates does not fund companies like Moderna. However, when you go to the Moderna website, modernatx.com, and all you have to do is type in foundations, this is what you're going to read on the Moderna website. In January 2016, we entered a global health project framework agreement with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation to advance mRNA-based development projects for various infectious diseases. In 2016, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation committed $20 million in grant funding, that was the initial funding, to support our project related to the evaluation of antibody combinations in a preclinical setting, blah, 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 blah. But the same clip goes on to say, follow-up projects could bring total potential funding under the framework agreement up to $100 million. So the fact checkers told me, and Facebook suspended me when I wrote an article saying that Moderna was funded by Bill Gates. They called me a liar. They called me a conspiracy theorist, and they suspended me on Facebook. I forget, it was a 2-day suspension, 3-day suspension. I can't remember. I've been suspended so many times that I honestly, it's been dozens and dozens and dozens of times that I have been in Facebook jail. I don't even remember them all or even close to it. But suffice to say, when I reported on this last year, the fact checkers shot me down, Facebook suspended me, and they called me a liar. And yet, what I just read to you, I have read to you verbatim from the Moderna website. So, who's the liar? It's not me. So, in 2019, this is what we have now. Incredible new evidence that gene editing company Moderna, funded by the Gates Foundation, had a COVID-19 vaccine ready at precisely the same time that Bill Gates was holding Event 201 to war game the possibility of a global coronavirus outbreak. In confidential documents that we will reveal to you today, and we will, Moderna, together with the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, sent mRNA coronavirus vaccine candidates to the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, December 12th of 2019. That is 5 or 6 weeks after Bill Gates holds Event 201, and almost precisely at the same time that the first reported cases of COVID-19 are appearing in China. And within a matter of about 6 to 8 weeks after that, these same cases started popping up in the United States and then all around the world. And by the time that you get to March 18th of 2020, where President Trump famously says 15 days to flatten the curve, and those 15 days lasted for 16 months. That's the timeline of how everything happened. And that brings us to where we are right now. Now, I want to play this clip for you, a man by the name of David E. Martin. And David E. Martin is the CEO of the world's largest technology underwriting company. And in his role as head of the world's largest technology underwriting company, they spend more time than anybody else on the face of the earth doing research on patents, on legal issues, on things related to liability and insurance claims and medical claims and medical studies and experiments and legal patents and medical patents. David E. Martin is one of the world's most knowledgeable sources of who holds what patent for what, because he runs the world's largest technology underwriting company. This is his job. This is what he does. So I want you to listen, and we've played this clip before, but I want you to get back up to speed with what David E. Martin said about the origins of the COVID-19 virus and the entire coronavirus family. Listen to what David E. Martin said last year.
I'm the developer of linguistic genomics, which was the first platform on which you could determine the intent of communication rather than the literal artifact of communication. But we've also used that technology for a number of other applications in defense and intelligence and finance. And most notably, in the early 2000s, my company was responsible for bringing down what was at the time one of the largest tax frauds in U.S. history. We maintained a series of inquiries into every individual, every organization, and every company that is involved in anything that either blurs the line of biological and chemical weapons or crosses that line in any of 168 countries. In 1999, there were 1 million patents digitized by IBM. And those 1 million patents were the first time human innovation had been put into an electronic digital searchable format. We took that information and we did a very simple exercise using our linguistic genomics technology, where I made the horrific assessment that approximately 1/3 of all patents filed in the United States were functional forgeries, meaning that while they had linguistic variations, they actually covered the same subject matter. In 1999, patents on coronavirus started showing up, and thus began the rabbit trail.
All right, so I'm going to stop that clip right there for a second to remind you that what we have been seeing for the last 16, 17 months with what they call the novel coronavirus, COVID-19, and it's called COVID-19 not because it's the 19th coronavirus, it's called COVID-19 because they claim to have discovered this virus in 2019. So 19 refers to the year that they say that this virus first came onto the scene. But as you're going to see, nothing of the kind happened. COVID-19 has been around for quite some time. And when you put together all the people that we're talking about, Bill Gates, Anthony Fauci, Moderna, all these different people, the CDC, the WHO, the United Nations, what you see is an organized plan to create, to perform gain-of-function research on, and then to launch a deadly virus that was created in a laboratory and was released for the sole purpose of getting rid of people.
March 2003, panic grips Hong Kong as a deadly new virus sweeps through the city.
In 2003, the Center for Disease Control saw the possibility of a gold strike, and that was the coronavirus outbreak that happened in Asia. They saw that a virus they knew could be easily manipulated was something that was very valuable, and in 2003, they sought to patent it. And they made sure that they controlled the proprietary rights to the disease, to the virus, and to its detection, and all of the measurement of it.
So I'm going to stop him again right there. David E. Martin just told you, as the man who runs the company that performs more of these searches than anybody else on the face of the earth, David E. Martin just told you that the coronavirus was created and patented. It did not just appear in nature. It's not like this virus came on the scene and we as helpless human beings struggled to figure out how to react to it. The coronavirus was created in a laboratory under the authority of the CDC and paid for with American tax dollars, and all of this was done on purpose and intentionally.
We know that Anthony Fauci, that Ralph Baric, that the Center for Disease Control, and the laundry list of people who wanted to take credit for inventing coronavirus were at the hub of this story. From 2003 to 2018, they controlled 100% of the cash flow that built the empire around the industrial complex of coronavirus.
The World Health Organization has officially named the new novel coronavirus.
The novel coronavirus outbreak.
The coronavirus crisis.
The World Health Organization
is
a pandemic.
An international public health emergency.
Well,
and that's exactly how it was presented to us, that this virus suddenly appeared in the closing days of 2019. It came up out of nowhere, and now the world is going through this mad scramble to try to figure out how to deal with it. And all the while, the New World Order elites are sitting back and laughing their butts off because they had planned this whole thing over a 22-year period. And in 2020, actually, in the last days of December of 2019, that's when they decided, okay, this is the plan that we've been working on since the end of World War II. This is the reason why we formed the United Nations. This is the reason why we've been having decades of Bilderberger meetings. Do you know what David Rockefeller said about Bilderberger meetings? David Rockefeller said this in his memoirs about these New World Order Bilderberger meetings, where all these things were talked about and financed and war-gamed for years and years and years. David Rockefeller said this: we are grateful, and he's going to thank the fake news media. David Rockefeller, in his autobiography called Memoirs, said, "We are grateful to the Washington Post, the New York Times, Time Magazine, and other great publications whose directors have attended our meetings," that's the Bilderberger meetings, "and respected their promises of discretion for almost 40 years. It would have been impossible for us to develop our plan for the world if we had been subjected to the lights of publicity during those years. But the world is more sophisticated and prepared to march toward a world government. That's what David Rockefeller said. In the same book, he goes on to say this: many people have claimed that me and my family are part of a secret cabal working against the best interest of the United States. If that's the charge, Rockefeller said, I stand guilty and I'm proud of it. This is not conspiracy theory or slander. I am quoting to you from David Rockefeller's autobiography called Memoirs. And Rockefeller says about himself and his family and his secret closed-door meetings for over 40 years with the Bilderberger groups, before he died, he fully admitted to what they were really doing, what the real nature was. And then, of course, they needed money, and they needed a lot of money. They needed crazy, endless amounts of money. So where did they get that from? People like Bill Gates. Bill Gates is not smart enough to create a technology company. Bill Gates had that technology company created for him by IBM and by his mother. All you have to do is go Google how Microsoft really started. Bill Gates was the hand-picked evil messiah to help to bring all these things to come to pass. Remember at the start of the COVID created crisis, Bill Gates said that he is personally financing 7 vaccine factories. So I didn't dig deeper than what he said. He said he was going to create 7 vaccine factories. So I started checking the news every single day so I could see where these factories were being built. But I misunderstood what Gates had said. Bill Gates didn't mean he was going to create 7 vaccine factories. Bill Gates said he was funding 7 vaccine companies, even though he didn't use the word company. But that's what he meant. And over the next couple of months, Bill Gates gave up to almost $1 billion to get this juggernaut running. But all these things that happened in 2020 and are happening right now are the result of careful planning with all of these decades of Bilderberger meetings and David Rockefeller and the global cabal that they promised was going to come one day someday. And conspiracy theory people had whispered about it for so long that people, it just became like background noise. It's kind of like the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. People have been talking about that for decades and decades and decades. They wrote the Left Behind books. All these different Christian movie companies have these great end times movies about the pre-trib rapture. But only the hardcore Bible believers like me and you still get excited about the blessed hope of Titus 2:13 on Flight 777. And we do get excited about it. I'm excited about it every single day of my life. But to the vast majority of Christians, it's become like background noise. But guess what? The day's going to come soon and very soon where we're going to hear that voice like a trumpet, and it's going to be up and away, and it's going to be done in the blink of an eye. And it's going to happen while all the world is not looking for it, even though we have had decades of people saying that it was coming. And that's exactly how it's gone with these New World Order people with the COVID-19 coronavirus. They've been saying for decades that this is coming. We're going to take over. We're going to take over. Ah, that's just conspiracy theory. That's just nonsense. That's not going to happen. And everybody got excited for a little bit. And then everybody goes back to sleep. And then bam, 2020 comes along. And it is just one knockout punch after the other. Where did all this stuff suddenly come from? It came from decades of planning. It came from creating companies like Microsoft with unlimited cash cow funding. Why do you think that Bill Gates created the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, that Warren Buffett gave almost half of his worldly wealth into, and other billionaires have given billions and billions and billions of dollars into the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation? Well, one of the reasons why he created that was to make good press for himself, because the real Bill Gates is a disgusting little pervert. And he does horrible things, and he had a terrible reputation within his own company. He was a stalker half of the time of his female employees, and the list goes on and on and on. But Bill Gates creates the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation so that he can begin to funnel obscene amounts of money to the necessary groups like the WHO and the CDC and Anthony Fauci and all of these people. He funnels obscene amounts of money so that the global takeover can happen. Now, what did Bill Gates say, right? He said, well, there's an event coming. It's going to be like a global war. It's going to kill millions of people. But it's not going to have any missiles. It's going to have microbes. And when he said that back in 2015, and then it happened in 2020, and everybody says Bill Gates must be the smartest person on the face of the earth. He said this 5 years ago and we didn't listen. And he's laughing and smirking and mocking you all the way to the bank. Yes, he said these things 5 years ago, 6 years ago now. But what he was really saying was his plan for global domination. Not his plan. He's just one of the, he's just the messenger boy. This is how he was able to so accurately predict what was coming. Because they were planning it. That's why.
We know that the coronavirus manipulation started with Dr. Ralph Baric in 1999.
The major characteristics of SARS, MERS, and SARS coronavirus 2, it's a good way for you.
Ralph Baric is the researcher at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, who's famous for his chimeric coronavirus research. In 2002, there was a recognition that the coronavirus was seen as an exploitable mechanism for both good and ill. On April the 25th, 2003, the U.S. Center for Disease Control filed a patent on the coronavirus transmitted to humans.
Stop him right there again. April 2003, the CDC, under the direction of Anthony Fauci, files a patent for the transmission of coronavirus into human beings. April 2003.
Under 35 U.S. Code Section 101, nature is prohibited from being patented. Either SARS coronavirus was manufactured, therefore making a patent on it legal, or it was natural, therefore making a patent on it illegal. If it was manufactured, it was a violation of biological and chemical weapons, treaties, and laws. If it was natural, filing a patent on it was illegal. Then either outcome, both are illegal. In the spring of 2007, the CDC filed a petition with the Patent Office to keep their application confidential and private. They actually filed patents on not only the virus, but they also filed patents on its detection and a kit to measure it. Because of that CDC patent, they had the ability to control who was authorized and who was not authorized to make independent inquiries into coronavirus. You cannot look at the virus. You cannot measure it. You cannot develop a test kit for it. And by ultimately receiving the patents that constrained anyone from using it, they had the means, they had the motive, and most of all, they had the monetary gain from turning coronavirus from a pathogen to profit.
Developing and owning a coronavirus.
So there you have David E. Martin, and he's telling you that his research has conclusively shown that the COVID coronavirus was created in a laboratory and patented by the CDC in April of 2003. Why do you think that for about 18 years now, every time that you go into your grocery or hardware store and you pick up a can of Lysol, one of the 99.9% of germs and viruses that Lysol claims to kill is the coronavirus? And it's right there on the back of the can of Lysol, and it's been there for almost 20 years.
Coronavirus vaccine has become a biotech arms race with political overtones.
This vaccine gold rush is starting to bother me. Gold rush? Let's keep that in mind.
And so somewhere between 2012 and 2013, something happened. The federal funding for research that was feeding into places like Harvard, Emory, University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, that funding suddenly became impaired by something that happened at the NIH, where the NIH got this little tiny moment of clarity and said, I think something we're doing is wrong. And in 2013, the NIH said, gain-of-function research on coronavirus should be suspended. The National Institutes of Health had a moral and social and potentially legal reason to object to research.
Now, I want you to keep in mind that this clip that you've been listening to was from an interview that was done in the early part of 2020. And you just heard David E. Martin say that the CDC, based on the information that he discovered, that the CDC was performing gain-of-function research on the coronavirus that they themselves had filed a patent on back in 2003. And David Martin discovered that 10, 12 years later, in 2013 and 2015, that the United States was performing and paying for gain-of-function research on the coronavirus. Well, Martin said that last year, 2 months ago, if you remember when Rand Paul, he had all those back and forth with Fauci, and he said Rand Paul to Fauci's face accused him of performing gain-of-function research on the coronavirus, and Fauci was forced to admit it. He certainly couldn't deny it. And when all those emails got leaked a couple of months ago, it caused a huge firestorm. Well, this clip that I've been playing for you was made last year, was made about 6 or 7 months before the leaking of the emails ever even came to light. So all these things that you're hearing David Martin say, they are 100% true based on his research, and that's exactly what his company does, is they research the history and the rabbit trails of all these patents and technological and medical claims and all these different things. And the reason why his company does that is because he is a financial underwriter. Before he can underwrite a project and commit funds to it, he has to make sure that he knows the truth of what's going on. And this is how he came to find all these things. But 2 months ago, we found out about the Fauci emails and the gain-of-function research, and everybody in America, everybody around the world, suddenly learns a new phrase, gain-of-function. But David Martin told you that last year, and we played this clip on this program last year. So it's nice to see that the rest of the world is finally catching up with us. And that brings us to the topic of today's show. Now I've given you a basic timeline. I've showed you who the key players are. Now I want to show you, after we have successfully established the smoking gun link between Moderna Technologies and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, now I want to show you the proof that Moderna Technologies had a working COVID-19 vaccine candidate as early as December 31st of 2019. Actually, I'm sorry, December 12th of 2019. In confidential documents revealed together with the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, Moderna sent mRNA coronavirus vaccine candidates to the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill on December 12th of 2019. What did Moderna know that we didn't know? In 2019, there was not any singular coronavirus posing a threat to humanity which would warrant a vaccine. Remember, the coronavirus is a family of viruses that has existed for a long time. But in 2019, medical researchers did not have any smoking guns or red flags that would make them believe that there was any coronavirus anywhere that could pose a global threat to humanity. So ask yourself this question. If that's true, why was Moderna actively working on not just a coronavirus vaccine? Remember, coronavirus represents a family of vaccines. Moderna had created a vaccine candidate specifically for COVID-19, something that the world didn't even know that this thing existed before December of 2019. And when it came out, everybody started talking about, they call it the novel or the novel, N-O-V-E-L, which is a word which means new, the novel coronavirus, COVID-19. Coronavirus is a family of viruses, been around for a while. COVID-19 is a particular strain of coronavirus, and they called it the novel or the new COVID-19 virus. But it wasn't new, because Moderna had already been working for at least a year or two prior to 2019 on creating a COVID-19 specific vaccine. How is that possible, you say? Well, we're going to pull up our friend David E. Martin, and this is a clip that was sent to me just this morning by a listener named Kathy. And I want you to listen to David Martin debunking the very idea that the COVID-19 novel coronavirus was new or novel in 2019. Take a listen to David Martin debunking the novel coronavirus.
Obviously, from this standpoint of this presentation, as you know, we have reviewed the over 4,000 patents that have been issued around SARS coronavirus. And we have done a very comprehensive review of the financing of all of the manipulations of coronavirus, which gave rise to SARS as a subclade of the beta coronavirus family. And so what I wanted to do was give you a quick overview timeline-wise, because we're not going to go through 4,000 patents on this conversation. But I have sent to you and your team a document that is exceptionally important. This was made public in the spring of 2020.
Yes.
This document, which you do have and can be posted in the public record, is quite critical in that we took the reported gene sequence, which was reportedly isolated as a novel coronavirus, indicated as such by the ICTV, the International Committee on Taxonomy of Viruses of the World Health Organization. We took the actual genetic sequences that were reportedly novel and reviewed those against the patent records that were available as of the spring of 2020. And what we found, as you'll see in this report, are over 120 patented pieces of evidence to suggest that the declaration of a novel coronavirus was actually entirely a fallacy. There was no novel coronavirus. There are countless, very subtle modifications of coronavirus sequences that have been uploaded, but there was no single identified novel coronavirus at all. As a matter of fact, we found records in the patent records of sequences attributed to novelty going to patents that were sought as early as 1999. So not only was this not a novel anything, it's actually not only not been novel, it's not been novel for over two decades. But let's take a very short and what I'll do is I'll take you on a very short journey through.
So we'll stop David Martin just there for a second. I want to make sure that you understand what Martin was saying. He just told you that the COVID-19 novel coronavirus has been in existence for the past 22 years, since 1999. And if that's true, why did Anthony Fauci and the CDC and the National Institutes of Health and all these other people, if David E. Martin has just proved that the novel COVID-19 coronavirus has been around for 22 years, why did everybody play dumb in January, February, and March of 2020, pretending that this unprecedented virus had appeared out of nowhere from experiments on bats in a laboratory in Wuhan, China, and everybody acted and played dumb like they had never heard anything about this, that nothing in any of their research had prepared them in any way for this moment? And yet David Martin says, not only is that not true, but the novel COVID-19 coronavirus is unbelievably well known, well understood, and well financed and well researched. Are you starting to see the level of deception that this thing is operating on? Are you starting to see how deep this rabbit hole really, really goes? And I want you to think back to every press conference that Dr. Birx and Dr. Fauci and all the rest of those liars and fakers, and they're giving these press conferences and they're acting like they're just trying to figure it out. And we don't know what to do about these rapidly escalating numbers. And this goes all the way back to 1999, and Fauci knew about it every step of the way. Fauci's signature is on the patent application. Taxpayer money paid for it, funded it, patented it. And in 2020, they pretend like this is brand new to everybody. Oh, the only thing we can do is, well, I guess we got to lock everybody down. Well, guess what they're getting ready to do now. They're getting ready to lock down. The next lockdown that's coming is going to be a lockdown of the unvaccinated. That's what you have to prepare yourself for. The first lockdown, they locked everybody down. And the reason why they locked everybody down was to terrify you with this unprecedented, never seen before in human history, novel coronavirus that has existed since 1999, that they paid for with taxpayer money, and now 22 years later, they're pretending they don't know anything about it. And they locked down the entire world. They put a mask on the entire world. Why? So the entire world would be sufficiently afraid and terrorized so that anything they said, the people would do. I told you just a few moments ago that Macron, he got on French national TV on Monday and Tuesday, and Macron started to issue threats. And the French people, now, there is a section of French people who are not afraid, and they are protesting, but it's the smaller group. But Macron gets on French TV on Monday and Tuesday, and he threatens the French people. And he says, yep, if you don't take the vaccine, we're going to lock you down. And in 24 hours, 2.25 million people make an appointment to receive the vaccine. Why? Because these people don't want to go back into a global lockdown. They don't want to be part of the pandemic of the unvaccinated, as the CDC said yesterday. And these people are willing to do anything that it takes to just have their freedom back. What did Satan say in the book of Job, in Job chapter 1, when Satan is talking to God, he's accusing God with his filthy mouth? And in Job chapter 2, verse 3, and the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause." And Satan answered the Lord and said, "Skin for skin, all that a man hath will he give for his life." I want you to think about that today. Job chapter 2, verse 4, Satan accusing God. "Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life." Now you know why the Apostle Paul says in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, Acts 20, verse 24, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Satan said to God in Job 2, "Skin for skin, all that a man hath will he give for his own life." Paul said, "Not me. Not me. I don't count my life dear unto myself. I'm willing to go to the gallows for what I believe in." Paul says, "Follow me," right? Well, there's your path. Don't take the path of Job chapter 2, where you become pathetic and groveling and terrified and afraid and looking over your shoulder and, "What do I do next? Tell me, government, I'll do anything you say. Just don't hurt me. Just don't take me away. Just don't shut off my food supply. Just don't shut off my air conditioning. Come on now. I'll do anything you say. I'll be a good boy. I'll be a good girl. I'll do anything you say. Inject me with anything you want." Is that you? I hope not. I don't think it is. People who listen to these programs on a regular basis, I'm not talking to you necessarily. But to the Laodicean church in general, the lukewarm church, remember what God said to Joshua in Joshua 1:9. I actually have this verse written in the inside of my Bible, signed by Dr. Ruckman. It's one of my prized possessions. Joshua 1:9, Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Do not be like Job chapter 2, skin for skin. All that a man hath will he give for his life. Don't be that person. But that's why 2.25 million French people in a 24-hour period signed up for the vaccine. Because Macron, the person that we say is the biblical man of sin, maybe we're right, maybe we're wrong, but that's our opinion. Because Macron told them that if they didn't get injected, their lives were going to become a miserable living hell. And that's exactly what the Biden administration is getting ready to do to those of you like me and you who live in the United States of America. On the front page of Breitbart.com right now, White House colluding with Facebook to censor misinformation. On Tuesday, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki admitted that the Biden administration is identifying posts to Facebook that contain misinformation about the coronavirus and is asking Facebook to do something about it. How do you feel about that? Do you see where the government is going? I played that clip for you an hour ago. The director of the CDC just yesterday. Oh, we're having a pandemic, all right. But it's not a COVID pandemic. It's a pandemic of the unvaccinated. Well, we better get their little yellow stars on the outside of their coat and put them in a ghetto. And then we better get them on that train and send them away, because we can't be safe when we have the unvaccinated living among us. Now, you don't think, if you don't think that that's where everything is headed, then you are sound asleep. Because not only is everything headed that way, these things that I'm talking about are happening right now. The things that Macron said that caused such a stir, that's old news. That's 3 days ago. He's already moved on to something else. And all these things that we're telling you about, they may sound outrageous and fantastical, but everything that I'm telling you, that I don't preface with, that's my opinion, everything that I'm telling you, these are facts. This is the real news. These are the things that are actually going on, the things that are actually happening. So let's listen to a little more of David E. Martin debunking the novel COVID-19 coronavirus.
The patent landscape to make sure people understand what happened. But as you know, up until 1999, the topic of coronavirus vis-a-vis the patenting activity around coronavirus was uniquely applied to veterinary sciences. The first vaccine ever patented for coronavirus was actually sought by Pfizer. The application for the first vaccine for coronavirus, which was specifically this S spike protein. So the exact same thing that allegedly we have rushed into invention. The first application was filed January 28th, 2000, 21 years ago.
Did you hear what David Martin just said? These things were not rushed into operation in 2020. There is no such thing as Operation Warp Speed. Remember when Donald Trump said that he created Operation Warp Speed and they're going to rush these vaccines into production? The vaccines were already produced. The vaccines were ready and waiting and just waiting to be shipped out. How do you think that all these things happened so quickly? My older brother died of AIDS on December 4th of 1988. That's 33 years ago. When my brother passed away, he was 33 years old. So this December, my older brother will have been dead for the same amount of time that he was alive, 33 years. And in the last 33 years, despite billions and billions of dollars of funding, medical science anywhere around the world has failed to come up with a vaccine for AIDS. That vaccine does not exist. AIDS has become a chronic condition, and the life expectancy of AIDS patients in 2021 is no shorter than the life expectancy of somebody who does not have AIDS. AIDS has become a chronic condition. But the point of what I'm trying to tell you is that when my brother passed away on December 4th of 1988, this December, that will be 33 years ago, and they still don't have a vaccine for AIDS. But they want you to believe that they were able to make a functional working vaccine for the COVID-19 novel coronavirus in 20 weeks. Now, what type of an idiot would you have to be to believe that? That in 33 years, they are unable to make a vaccine for AIDS, no matter how much money they have, no matter how much time, no matter who's working on it, the brightest minds in human history. And then, of course, when you get into the 90s and the 2000s, you have all this computer technology. And yet, they want you to believe that they couldn't make an AIDS vaccine in 33 years, but they can make a COVID-19 novel coronavirus vaccine in 20 weeks. This is how stupid they think that you and I are. This is the level that they operate on. And so I want you to use your brain. I want you to use logic. If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, and that gives you discernment. If you have the King James Bible, you have the greatest collection of prophetical foreknowledge that has ever existed on this earth. All you have to do is read it and believe what you read in the context that you read it in, and you will be the most knowledgeable person about coming events that there is. So I want you to ask yourselves, why did they pretend that all this was brand new? Why did they pretend that nobody saw this coming? Why did they pretend that it came from a bat in China? Remember what they said about AIDS? It came from a monkey. A man had sex with a monkey and got AIDS. That wasn't true. That wasn't true at all. And a bat didn't give a Chinese lab worker COVID-19. That's not true either. And as we've been showing you today, I've shown you the proof. And I want you to go back and listen to this program, because I gave you a lot of information and you may not have been able to digest it all the first time around. But I want you to go back and listen to this program and see the real trail that leads up to all these things. I want you to understand that in the great research done by David Martin, proving beyond the shadow of a doubt that these patents were applied for and received as far back as 1999, and that the COVID-19 novel coronavirus, not only is it not new, it is 22 years old and was created by the CDC. And after they created it, The order was given to perform gain-of-function research on it, and then it became a super bioweapon. And then, when the time was deemed to be correct, that bioweapon was launched from Wuhan, China. What's that Bible verse in Revelation about the kings of the East? The 200 million strong army that comes from Asia? Well, again, there's reasons for everything. And this gain-of-function bioweapon was intentionally created from a CDC patent that they had worked on for 22 years. And in the end of December of 2019, they hit the play button and they launched this virus on the entire world. Now, here we are, I don't know how many months later, 17 months later, is it, right? Here we are 17 months later, and what do we see? The whole world is at the mercy of the COVID-19 novel coronavirus. I told you yesterday that California, starting at midnight on Saturday night, all of Los Angeles is going back under mask requirements. Lockdowns are coming back. The only way that you can protect yourself is to vaccinate. Yet, 47% of all people who get vaccinated get COVID anyway. Why do they want this mRNA technology inside your body so badly? Why do they want to inject you with something that has a 99.1% recovery rate? Even though that the COVID virus had gain-of-function research performed on it, there is still a 99.1% global recovery rate. So I ask you, why are they so determined to put this vaccine into the arms of every living human being on the face of the earth? Bill Gates told you why. Because he believes in population control. He believes in eugenics. The New World Order believes in population control and eugenics. And what you're seeing right now is the New World Order that people have been talking about and writing about and making movies about. And here it is right in front of your face. Habakkuk 1:5. Behold ye among the heathen and regard and wonder marvelously. For I will work a work in your day, which, though it be told you, you will in no wise believe. And this is where we are, right here, right now, in 2021. I want to remind you guys, if you haven't been to our online bookstore, please go to BibleBeliever.com. We are adding new items to our Christian bookstore every single week. We added a whole bunch more in just the last couple of days. Please go to BibleBeliever.com and check out what's new as you begin to build your end times and Bible study library. Also, we are right smack dab in the middle of the month of July. This is the slowest time of the year. Everybody's on vacation. Please remember to donate to the NTEB Gospel Billboard Witness Program. And we have a new billboard that's going up next week, and we could certainly use some help with that. And also, please, we need you to donate to the NTEB Free Bible and Gospel Tract Program. We get orders every single day from around the world for free King James Bibles and Gospel Tracts. And the only way that we can fulfill those orders is because you do it. So please pray about becoming a supporter of our billboard program and of our free Bible and Gospel Tract program. I want to thank you for tuning in today. I hope this program was a blessing to you. And Lord willing, we'll see you back here Sunday morning, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. for the NTEB House Church Sunday morning service. Thank you so much, everybody. And remember, if you're saved, if you're born again, we have a hope which cannot be deterred, which cannot be deferred. It cannot be delayed. You and I have a hope of heaven. We are looking for that blessed hope in the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And if you're not saved, you need to get saved. I told you just the other day that Rita, back in February, she listened to our program. And when I gave the call for people to pray to get saved, she got saved. And God is still bringing people in through this ministry, and I praise Him for that. So if you're not saved, you need to get saved. And if you are saved, you got to get out on the front lines of the end times and get something done for Jesus Christ. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Are in mourning, for in the tomb.